Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wockern, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from triathlon to road racing. And today I'm talking to Tony Seagrave. Tony is manager of the FMD downhill racing team and father of Tani and Chaos Seagrave, who are both racing for the team. We talked about his job as a manager, the planning for the 2021 season, and how the training in Wales looks like. Hey Tony, thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
That's okay. We're in sunny Wales right now.
In sunny Wales.
There's a change. There's a change in the weather, so we've got a sunny day, which is good. We're just here. Obviously, we've got various different parts of lockdowns going on, as well as we have in most of Europe. We're just based at HQ at the moment, so that's it.
Okay. So you are the team manager of FMD Racing, and you're responsible for the whole planning of the team. But what is the current situation with the 2021 season? Can you already plan, or what is going on right now?
No, the 2021 season is the same as the 2020 season, where it's just been cancelled. No, it actually hasn't. But that's how it... Well, it's... Yes, I am in charge of doing all of that, and... We have to do all of that, and when we know exactly, obviously with the first World Cup being not cancelled, postponed at the moment, things are different. Things are different and things are difficult. And it's probably harder. I'm not going to say it's harder for me, but it's harder when, you know, also my family are part of the team as well. So I'm trying to organise everything for everyone at the moment, and it's pretty tough. There's not a lot I can say too much. You know, we've kind of had everything. We've had COVID in the UK, we've had Brexit, what with these two things at the moment, everything seems to be just piling up and piling up. So it's quite a difficult season to prepare for, which is tough. Yeah.
But at the moment, the first race is postponed, which means there's still a chance that you have all the races, but to a different date, huh?
So yeah, fingers crossed. That's how we're looking at it at the moment. And fingers crossed, they all go ahead. If I was being honest, I'd say I hope they don't go ahead like they did last year. Obviously, we're glad we went racing. However, it was a big stint away at probably the worst time that we could have gone for a mountain bike season, as it was just coming into winter. So, you know, it was kind of tough on everyone, and some people did extremely well and some people did extremely badly. I obviously hope and pray we go racing. But I on the flip side of it, I hope we don't go at the same time as we did last year.
Yeah. I think not with the weather, but also with the format of the racing last year, it was pretty hard on every racer and every athlete. So hopefully we get a little bit more fair racing this year. So that
I wouldn't say a little bit more fair racing. I think ultimately it was fair for everyone. You know, everyone took part, everyone had to be there, everyone had to turn up and race. So, you know, I think it was fair for everyone. However, the circumstances were tough. And I'm not taking this away from the athletes. You know, it wasn't just the athletes. It was all the staff, the personnel, you know, everyone involved. And especially for the teams that were coming in from, you know, the other continents to race in Europe. I think it was extremely tough for them.
Yeah. I can imagine. In 2020, you changed the bike sponsor after many years with Transition. You went to Canyon. What did change What did the change mean for you as a manager?
Well, we had some fantastic years with transition. I actually had a discussion with Canyon before I had a discussion with transition all those years ago. But things didn't evolve at that time, and they approached us again towards the end of our final year with transition. And things kind of came together a bit better. You know, we've always, as you guys at Schwab, we've always stuck with a lot of our sponsors, and yeah, especially our main sponsors. You know, I met Michael Cole back in 2012, I think it was. and that's when we started working with Schwab. So, you know, it was great for us. And so for us to move a brand, it's normally, it takes quite a lot for us to move, because there's, you know, there's more than just finances to think about. It there's friendships, there's partnerships, and that's how we approach everything. Mm-hmm. And I'd worked with Gabe Fox before, because we were on Da Vinci before we were on transition.
Yeah.
And Gabe he kind of oversees everything for the, you know, in inverted commas, what we are now as a collective. And working with Gabe before, it was a smoother transition for us, and there was other kind of things aligned, and it made it a lot better for us. So, you know, it was an opportunity that we felt as though we should jump in on, and mm-hmm. and we did. And it's just a complete shit that first year was the COVID year, you know, and obviously as well, as you probably know, Tane had that huge injury in February last year. So, you know, it was a bit of a rocky start, and in actual fact, the rocks have got worse with COVID. So it's been a mountain to climb since we signed for them, you know, but there are, you know, there are flip sides to this. You know, we've had Chaos was able to go to New Zealand and do Crankworx, and he's been able to do a couple of other events on the kind of, you know, in inverted commas, free racer side of things. So, you know, and that's been great. And it's been awesome. So I think, you know, we've justified ourselves a little bit there.
Yeah. So Transition is a rather small company where you know everyone, and then you move to Canyon, which is quite huge, and beside that, it's a German company, which means it's quite organized. How does it fit with you guys?
Well, like I said, you know, we work with Huawei for God knows how long, so we're used to this German organization. Yes. I mean, I could pick up the phone with Transition, and we get stuff sorted over the phone there and then, and things, you know, things are a little bit different now, but it's more methodical, and we can go through. It is more organized. But I think again, you'd be very surprised how organized transition work, you know. And it's just a bigger version of what they were, you know. Mm-hmm. We've especially racing wise, we've never wanted or needed, should I say, for anything, you know, because we get what we need or what we want, and that is one of the most important parts. And in actual fact, you know, Transition and Canyon are very similar. They're both rider born. You know, the companies were built by riders in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, you know, when you're signing for these companies, it's to sit down and chat with these people and make sure that it is the right way forward for you. And that's what we did. You know, we had quite a few meetings with Canyon, from the smallest guys to Roman at the top, you know, and it's all extremely important. And also, you know, we've got the French guy thrown in there. We're working with Fabian as well, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that sounds pretty good. So, and I mean, your team's getting more organized and more professional each and every year. So
again, thank you for that comment. It's like I'm not professional in the first place. but no, you are right. You're 100% right. It started as Tane and myself, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, Chaos was too young to race, and at the time, you know, back then, she was sponsored by Intense, and again, forming the partnerships that we had, she had many an offer to go and ride for a World Cup team back then.
Yeah.
But the girls, you know, the girls have had it tough. They've had it really tough. And you know, women, again, as you probably know, you know, women's mountain biking has come on so much, and it's brilliant and it's amazing to see. Mm-hmm. But back when we started, you know, there was offers on the table, but there wasn't, you know, there wasn't any kind of financial reward, or there wasn't really any help for us that we weren't getting already.
Yeah.
So, you know, why would we ruin a relationship or a partnership to go somewhere and, you know, and not get much more? I'd rather stick with those partnerships and carry on. And that's, you know, that's what we did. We had enough to get by, and that's what we were going to do. And from there, the team has just evolved.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. I like to think that I've been professional since the start, to be honest with you. But, you know, there's been more personnel. There's been more staff to deal with. There's been more, you know, there is a whole load of professionalism that's needed to be done. And yeah, you're right. You know, it has got more professional as it's gone along.
Yeah. So the last time I did the podcast with Tani, you were in the final stage of rebuilding your new racing truck. How did that turn out?
Foolishly, I decided to do that. And I'm very hands-on with kind of, you know, everything that we plan on what we're doing. I like to get my hands dirty and get involved. And we couldn't find a truck that we wanted. So we decided to get something that was available and then build it how we wanted. And we did that. And we're super stoked with how it's turned out. And it's got everything that the riders need and everything that the team needs. So I'm really pleased with it. It was a tough winter, but it was good fun. I'm very lucky that there's a lot of people involved in what we do and wants to help out and knowledge. Because knowledge to me is extremely powerful. So, you know, I had many people with that, the knowledge that could help, and we produced something that, you know, has really done us proud.
So I bet everyone of our listeners has seen the final result, but I have seen some pictures when you bought the van and during the building process. And this was a totally different story. So you did an amazing job on it. Thank you.
In non-COVID times, please, you're welcome to come in and have a look.
That's great. So, last year there were not much time to really test the van, but are you happy with the new setup so far? Or do you have anything where you know we have to change it?
No, I've spent the whole of this winter sorting out all the problems that I have from last year. No, yeah, but well, funnily enough, we got thrown into the deep end. Last year, I thought we were going to have like one race at the start of the year, which was it Maribor again last year? I've literally my head's gone. So we were going to go to the first race with the truck pretty much done, but then come back and sort out all the issues we would have had.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the plan, but obviously when we took the truck out, that was it. It was out for, well, we did a trip to Morzine, which didn't really test it under because the weather was great and blah blah blah, you know, it was fantastic. And then to take it for a 6-week stint in the freezing cold and the pouring rain, I found out that there was quite a few little problems that needed sorting out. And mostly it would always happen at that time of probably when one of the riders is just about to go up for their final run or something like that, something else would go on the truck or something would happen that needs to be sorted. So it was an experience, but I've been able to, you know, we've been able to sort them out, and it's fantastic. You know, it really is now. And they're all simple things that it just needed to get back in the workshop and us to sort out. But yeah, it's been It has been fun. It's been a very steep learning curve, but it's an amazing result from that steep learning curve.
Yeah, I mean, you can really be proud of that project. It's amazing.
Yeah, the most important thing for me was the neon disco lights that we've got on the outside of the truck, which actually, before we were about to leave last year for our loser, that was the first race. Before we were about to leave for that, they were the things that I accidentally blew up just before we were about to leave. It was like the weekend before it got cancelled. And my whole world fell apart, you know, because this was my pièce de résistance, you know, the greatest thing that I'd done. And the outside lights didn't work. Yeah, so my wife gave me a reality check and said, you know, there's problems in the world, Tony. You know, your lights working outside aren't one of them. But it was just one of those things. Yeah. So, yeah. There you go.
But that sounds pretty fun. It sounds like a really, really great project. So as a manager, you're basically responsible for everything from sponsor talks to travel planning. But what are your most important tasks at the races?
To basically find the best bottle of wines I can from the local area.
Okay.
No, by the time we get to the races, if I've done my job properly, I shouldn't have to do much. Again, when we first started, I'd be doing everything. We had in the second year that we did World Cups, we had Mike Jones on the team. So we had two juniors at that point. And I would be doing everything from cooking to cleaning to looking after them to doing whatever. And we had one mechanic between the two of them. So times have changed a little because my cooking's terrible. and we have an amazing group of people that work for us, and it's always whenever one of them leaves, it's the hardest job in the world for me to try and replace them, because you become part of the family when you join our team. But not only that, their tasks aren't just the tasks that they do that they're hired to do. There's so much more involved.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like when you're on the road, you know, everyone has to muck in, and it's always difficult to find people that can do that.
Yeah.
But nowadays, touch wood, I feel as though we have some of the best people around, and like I said, you know, by the time I get to a World Cup, I shouldn't have to be doing much. You know, I'll be getting, you know, the times for everything and making sure everyone is in the right places at the right times, and, you know, everything from, you know, when dinner is, when lunch is, when, you know, and when physio sessions are. And I'll make sure I'll literally just be overseeing, and then getting extremely drunk at night and then hoping I can do the overseeing the following day.
So that sounds like a pretty good plan.
Yeah, no, we try and let loose on the last day, but other than that, no, you have to try and keep it together all week. But yeah, no, ultimately now with all the, you know, there's always mishaps, there's always things that go wrong, and those are the things which I actually enjoy it. It's weird to say, but I do enjoy it when it goes wrong, because you have to think on your feet, and I'm in those circumstances. Thankfully, I'm quite good, and I do enjoy those kind of things. We've got everything from, you know, emergency hospital visits and you know, there's everything that could come up on a race weekend normally does come up, and it's the smallest of things as well. You know, again, now we have most things taken care of, but in the past it would be little things from, you know, a broken peak on a helmet trying to find another one to, you know, there could be anything go wrong, and you'd be amazed that no matter how many times you try and make sure everything's taken care of, there's always that one thing that's kind of either missing or missed.
Yeah, I bet. You founded FMD Racing with your two children. Tony was racing, Chaos was hanging around, and now you run one of the important teams with employees and riders. Was it always your plan to make it that big?
No, it was never my plan to do it in the first place. I honestly thought that, well, I didn't really think too much about it, to be honest with you. It was just, you know, my kids enjoyed mountain biking. We have an older child as well that used to be into football, and whenever they've found a passion, I've tried to help them with their passion. But all we've done is try to help and assist along the way, and I never thought it would turn out like this. I really didn't. But it has, and we've embraced it as and when it's happened. And like I said, I think back then, if there was bigger support for the girls, and I could see, I couldn't really see a future, a good future for Tani at the time by moving on to something else, because I felt as though it was always the focus was these elite men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the vibe that I got. Whether I was right or wrong, I don't know. So, you know, and hopefully, I'm not saying that we were trailblazers, but I'm hoping that we've carved a path for others to also do that, you know, and especially, you know, the young girls that are coming through now, I'm hoping that they realise that, you know, you can do this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's basically what Tani wanted from it as well, is to show others that it can be done.
Yeah.
You know, everyone said to me at the time that I'd never be able to do it with a girl leading the team.
Yeah.
But, you know, back then, little, you know, people kind of forgot that I think the Madison Saracen team was run by Manon, you know, was headed by Manon Carpenter. But people didn't really look at it like that because there was other elites there, like male elites, but mm-hmm. she was the one that was out winning all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and Rachel was out there winning on the Atherton team. And, you know, granted at that time as well, G was too, but you know, and so back then it was happening. However, I feel as though the girls weren't getting as much of the credit for what they were doing, you know, and they're doing exactly the same as the men.
Yeah.
The men are pushing themselves as fast as they can to get to the bottom of that hill in the quickest time possible. And that's what the girls are doing.
Definitely, yeah.
So, you know, there's no difference in what they're trying to do. Yes, there's a difference in their time, but there's no difference in what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And what are the plans for the futures? Do you want to have more riders, or you stick with the group of people you have now, or is there any... Could you even, or can you even plan for the future?
I think I could have, but I'm not sure you can. And now things are changing so much. I don't know. Being a privately run team is different to being a factory team. So we can only plan for however long our sponsors are involved with the team for.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like... So, for example, if we were to invest in another high-profile rider, I'd have to guarantee that the finances were there to be able to employ that person.
Yeah.
So, you know, our philosophy has always been to try and help the youth and the young riders in the best way possible. Now, you know, some of them thrive within what we're doing, mm-hmm. and some of them don't. But then... You know, you can't take a 15-year-old child. You can't guarantee that they're going to be any good when it comes to, you know, 19, 20.
Yeah.
You can't do that. But what you can do is try and prepare them as best as possible. And that's how we've looked at it in the past. You know, we've had riders which have been with us. Some have made it and some have not.
Yeah.
And it does get to a point where, you know, I'd like them to grow. And I think if we can have, you know, at least a two, maybe 3 year plan with all of these riders, then we're in good stead going forward. So again, watch this space, but we might have something new next year.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, it depends when a podcast coming out and whether I can say anything about it or not, but I'm just going to leave it like that for now. When is this podcast coming out?
Tomorrow.
So then no, I can't say anything. we have got an announcement to make, but
we are happy to be the first ones to where you can announce it. Feel free.
Nah, you can't. No, no. We're going to leave that to us to announce, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Basically, because of COVID and how everything is, we haven't had too much time to get together and make things happen like we've wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, within the next few weeks, we're going to be able to do that. We've actually been able to organise a team get together next week. So we're going to do that and do some media from it as well, which means that we'll then be able to do, you know, we haven't done an amazing team launch since we did one with Transition a couple of years ago,
yeah,
which was really good. But again, due to the current climate, we haven't been able to do exactly what we've wanted to do. So, we're just keeping everything on the down low at the moment.
Yeah. 2020 started for Tenny with a broken foot, as you already told. And, I mean, that affected the preparation pretty bad. And how does it look this year? Is everything going well?
Again, touch wood, everything is going well. I don't want to say anything now. You've made me... I don't want to come out and say... but no, you're right. 2020 in February. In actual fact, as you were talking about the lorry, I was driving back from Germany after just getting the awning, the outside pit area.
Yeah.
That was done by Stegmeier, is it, in Germany? So I was on my way back. It was the first time I'd driven the lorry in Europe, and I was driving it back, and I was just about to pull over for the night to sleep on one of the truck stops, and I got a phone call from Tane saying that she was in hospital with her ankle dislocation, which was a fibula fracture, a lateral ligament ruptures or something along those lines. So it was quite serious as well. It's quite a big one. That obviously, you know, the first year with Canyon was, there was many things that were going through my head at the time. But again, these are things that just get thrown at you, especially in action sports. These things can happen all the time. And I'm really pleased that our team has so much more to give than just performing on the racetrack. You know, we've got some extremely good social athletes, and it's not just Tane. You know, Chaos is the same. The young Dennis Luffman that's riding for our team, you know, they're all good on social media as well. So I'm extremely pleased that we have more to give. So that a new, you know, even Tane was going to go through this injury, that, you know, she would keep her sponsors happy and she would keep, you know, the fans updated with what was going on. And that's all you can ask in those situations, because there is, you know, she can't go racing. I obviously, from a racing point of view, she'd just come back from testing in France as well,
mm-hmm,
on a downhill bike. And I mean, she felt as though she was going as fast as she'd ever been.
Okay.
So, you know, it was looking extremely good. But obviously, you know, you can't predict the future, and boom, there it went.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, injuries, you have to deal with them.
Definitely. I mean, it's a dangerous sport.
Yes.
But how did you work, or how did you react to the current situation with the training? Because this is the first winter, you're not really able to go to the south or to the sun to train as normal. Did you fly away, or did you train the whole winter in the UK?
In wet Wales.
In wet Wales.
Where we're currently based. Yeah.
But is that a good preparation for a World Cup season?
Well, I don't know. In the past, you'd say it probably was. But I think as tracks have got better and as people have moved around more, I'm not sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It is good. And, you know, back in the day, the tracks that you build, they were good enough for you to turn up to a World Cup and for the first time and do extremely well. However, no, now I believe that you need, you know, the tracks have got faster. And that's one of the things. I think when the tracks were more technical, riding in the wet and the steep stuff that they can do around here on the shorter tracks would have prepared them enough for a World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think now as the tracks have got faster, you know, and longer, and to a certain extent, I think, you know, we riders in general need to get away and go training, testing on those type of tracks and terrain. So I'm not saying it's not good enough, but I believe that we do need to get some, even if it's just a little bit of vitamin D would be nice.
Yeah.
It's, you know, yeah, we do need to get the riders away, but it's, and whether it will hinder them and or not if they didn't do that before the first World Cup, I couldn't really tell you. All we can do is prepare as best we can before we get there.
But do you think that the riders from the southern countries have a big advantage this year, that they could train on longer tracks and train in the sun?
No, again, it's a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it? You know, I think the only thing is when everyone sees on social media that there's riders riding or racing wherever, and it's the FOMO, it's the fear of missing out, which I think can play havoc on you on a mental side for athletes. But ultimately, I'm not sure. You know, if that was the case, surely that, you know, the Kiwis and the Australians that are coming out of their summer straight onto a summer of racing, you know, surely they'd be more prepared. But the history tells you that yes, they are prepared, but you know, they're not necessarily been at the, you know, on the top step each time. So I don't know. You know, I do think you need to move around to be best prepared, not just stay in one place. And I think that's the variety actually builds, you know, a better rider.
So that sounds good, or sounds
I don't know whether it sounds good or not, but no, we'll be doing as much as we can. We're at the moment, we have to take each week as it goes. We're trying to find a bit of variety at home, which is we kind of are. And as soon as we can travel well with the team. I mean, you know, professional athletes can travel, and they can move around, which you've probably seen on social media now that some people are. But it is difficult when you're trying to move a whole, you know, the whole group of body just to do kind of like a testing thing.
Yeah.
If it was a race, then it's going to be a lot easier for me to move the whole team around. Whereas, you know, for testing, do I want to, you know, we have to pay for these COVID tests as well. So, you know, there's 8 to 10 people within the team, £150 a piece. You know, you're starting to add up the cost of racing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, when your training sessions are being, you know, you're adding £1,500, £2,000 to every training session, it starts adding up.
Yeah.
And not knowing what we're going to have to do with the season yet, it's, you know, you just have to start shuffling things around.
Mm-hmm.
So, and trying to work out what's best for everyone. And we'll be doing that, you know, and we're trying to make those decisions week on week at the moment, but we can't really do anything in advance. I mean, we had Portugal booked for March. Mm-hmm. I think we should have been in Portugal last week, but obviously at that time, Portugal was still a red zone.
Yeah.
And we couldn't travel. We had to, again, and, you know, I got hit on cancellations and various other things.
But yeah.
It is what it is at the moment.
And traveling now, it's always, a little bit danger, because if you go to a zone and then they change, you need to go in quarantine. And that's what you really don't want as a professional athlete, to have 2 weeks at home sitting on the couch. So.
No, exactly. Well, they can also train. They don't have to be locked inside. I think, you know, but the rules are varying at the moment. And like you said, you could be away, and then, you know, 10 days at home quarantine is not too bad if you can still train.
Yeah.
However, like you say, if you then have to go into the hotel, you know, and it becomes 2 weeks of your life pretty much that you can't get back. So it's, yeah, it's a tough one, and it's there's some tough decisions to be made on what needs to happen and can, and it's, yeah, it is making life difficult, but you know, it's the same for everyone. So
yeah. So Tony, I wish you all the best for the season, and that everything opens up soon and starts soon, and we get some good racing. So thanks a lot for your time, and I hope we talk soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed, definitely. And at the moment, hopefully, fingers crossed again, we'll see you in Fort William.
Perfect. So, bye-bye. Thanks.
Great, Tobias. Thank you very much. Thank you.